This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Yes, hello, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So I'm going to throw out some names of musical icons. Lionel Richie, Kenny Rogers, Olivia Newton-John, the Bee Gees. Well, all of those artists had one thing in common, other, of course, than being a pop stars. Their manager was a musical icon himself named Ken Cragen. Ken was also the behind-the-scenes guy who made magic happen, and sometimes the impossible. For example, so who can forget that iconic tune and event, We Are the World, for the charity USA for Africa, featuring the biggest musical icons of the 80s, including Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, Bruce Springsteen, Cyndi Lauper, Tina Turner, Steve Perry, and many more. The sale of that album raised $64 million for humanitarian efforts in Africa and the U.S. Or maybe you remember Hands Across America, another seemingly impossible event that created the longest human chain, 6.5 million people stretching from east to west coast to fight hunger and homelessness. Ken was the mastermind behind those events, and he is a man I've come to know and treasure while working here at eWomen Network. He has spoken at the eWomen Network annual conference and will be speaking there again this summer during the conference, which runs August 4th through 7th. So please welcome my friend, Ken Cragen.
Hi, Phyllis. Great to talk to you.
Oh, always great to talk to you. So listen, you
By
have
the way,
so
Lionel Richie is closing his show with We Are the World nowadays. And
he
is one of the best entertainers ever. So if you get to see him, I know he's regularly in Vegas, but he's touring a lot too, although mostly overseas. But Lionel Richie is still one of the most brilliant entertainers ever. But I'm thrilled that we gave him a lot of footage and other stuff that he's using, I guess, and he closes with We Are the World.
That's wonderful. That was an event, and I remember that was a big part of my life, actually. I remember when that came out, I couldn't wait till it came on the radio. And you've certainly filled my life and our lives with treasured moments like that through the music and events that you help create and execute. So my first question is, what does it mean to you to have been such a huge part of our history, to have made such a difference in so many people's lives?
Well, it certainly makes me feel good. I as you know, because you've known me for a number of years now, I kind of strive not to think of myself as a big deal, but certainly the projects I've been involved in are kind of historic and groundbreaking and have done wonderful good. And in fact, Tony Robbins and I were working on a book we've never really finished called Doing Well by Doing Good, and I think that's the ideal for anybody in life, if you can do well by doing things that make a difference in other people's lives. It's the 30th anniversary this year of Hands Across America. Just a little more than a month ago, May 25th, was the 30th anniversary of that unbelievable event. We Are the World will last longer and people will remember it because it gets played over and over, but
yeah.
Hands Across America was certainly the most impossible thing I've ever accomplished.
Oh my goodness! And you did it. You accomplished it by. Is it just the idea that you didn't know any better? You just had this attitude.
Yeah, I think to a great extent, one of my strengths is this kind of childlike innocence that I don't know better and I don't understand. But I did during Hands Across America while we were producing it. I flew across the United States many times, and you'd look out the window and see these vast spaces, especially across, you know, California, New Mexico, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. I mean, there were vast areas of desert, and you wondered, how in the heck are we going to get people out there? One way we did it was Kenny Rogers decided to get in the right on the border of New Mexico and Texas and put a concert on and get people to come out, and he got like 10,000 people to show up. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But But, you know, it's looking back on all that, I certainly am very proud of it, and I'm trying very much to continue to do that these days with the next big project of that kind I have is next year called OceanAid to help get plastic out of the oceans. So I'm still at it.
I think I was telling you earlier that I was on a plane recently, and I was thinking to myself, and not in a morbid way, but in a way of just, what does my life mean? I was thinking, what if this plane crashed today? What if this was it? What would people say about me? And I just suddenly had that moment of, you know, what have I done? What difference have I made in people's lives? And then I'm thinking about you and the impact that you've had on, you know, and people not knowing that it's you who did it. You know, you have what you do. It's so amazing. You're not visible. You're the guy that makes the phone calls and makes that happen. Does it ever bother you in a certain way, or that doesn't even come to your mind at all?
No, you know, I have to be very honest about that. There have been moments in years past, particularly, maybe I'm a little milder now, where when someone else, and I won't mention names, but some big star got credit for accomplishing all this, and I knew that I worked 24/7 for months making it happen, that I would feel a little bad. I'd feel a little jealous about it. Not so much for the recognition, because I learned in the 80s what it's like to be out front and be known, and it's not really all that it's made out to be, being a celebrity, you know. And I was briefly a celebrity, and that's not the coolest thing in the world. But I have to confess to moments where, when I knew I did all the hard work involved, and somebody else, particularly a star, got the credit for being the one who put it together, it bothered me internally. I have to admit that, you know.
Well, how do you reconcile that? How did you reconcile that? Or did you not?
Just go on and do more good works and keep, you know, you have to reconcile it by being satisfied that you made a difference in the world, a significant one. And you know, for each person, everybody listening to us, I think what you really have to always think is, did I make a difference in anybody else's life? It doesn't have to be massive numbers. You know, it's not quantity, it's quality. It's the quality of the work and the difference you make for anyone, whether it's your family or your business associates or whatever you do. You try to find ways in everything you do that improves the lives of others. And in turn, your life is certainly more meaningful and improved greatly.
You know, I have a cousin who's a teacher in L.A. Public School, Los Angeles, and she said she loves it, but she says she has a teaching assistant, and you know, he was working for the Obama administration, but he wanted to be a teacher, and she says, let me just tell you, you might impact one kid in that class, and you've got to be okay with that. It might be one, that's it. And you know, going along with what you said, that it's not the quantity, it's the quality. And sometimes it is one person that you've changed their lives forever. Because when you change one person, then they change, and then they affect all those people that, you know, in their lives. And how, you know, so it's hard, you know, when if somebody else gets the credit, but by the same token, you know, to just know that, you know, whatever you've done and to change one person's life is all that really, really, even if it's your own kids.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
It's really true. And you just have to realize that that's a great purpose and feel good about it and feel fulfilled by those kind of accomplishments,
yeah.
You know?
So you're a graduate of the Harvard Business School. You're no slouch. We know that. You obviously have learned many valuable things that helped catapult your success. But one that you might not have learned there is something that you recognize as a powerful tool to building a successful business, and that is the magic of threes. So what is that exactly?
Well, first I should probably tell you how I got there. You know, I really didn't understand the magic of threes, but I was doing it for maybe 20 years. And then all of a sudden I started teaching at UCLA, and I had to go back, and I literally spent 100 hours reviewing my successes and my failures to figure out what was working. And very early on in that process, I discovered the concept that, hey, you can't sell anything to anybody unless you get their attention. And what I was happening, or what I was at least doing unconsciously, was utilizing something called the magic of threes. And it was the fact that it took at least three impressions in a concentrated period of time. And I'm talking a few hours, a day, a week at most, to get anybody to take any real action, that people didn't take action on one event. In those days, in those early days or earlier days of my career, you know, getting on the Tonight Show was considered a career-making opportunity. But if you didn't surround that with other things, if you didn't put other stuff with it, that Tonight Show appearance, big as it might have been, or nowadays American Idol or The Voice or any of these other shows, if you didn't surround them with other things, they didn't have impact, and nobody went out and bought your record or turned on TV when you were there or went to your concerts, because you had to reach them multiple times in a concentrated period of time. And what it turned out was there was some true magic to the number three. There really truly is, and I'll give you plenty of examples of it if we have the time here today.
Yeah, we do, actually. But I just digress for one second. I have to ask you, you just brought up The Voice in American Idol. I have to ask you this before we move on and go deeper into it, the magic of threes. As someone who has dealt with, you know, music with artists and record companies, and, you know, where radio was king, not just podcasts, and, you know, people can just buy their own stuff on, you know, online, and people have a lot more control now of the music they listen to. And you know, what do you think about something like The Voice in American Idol, where people just unknowns have this opportunity to get on stage and become a star?
Well, it's part of the whole democratizing of the industry. I mean, what's changed so dramatically is that opportunity that you can be unknown one day and a major star the next. But you don't get that major stardom without multiple exposures. I teach, you know, at UCLA, and I had one of my students go on to actually reach number five. A young lady named India Carney went all the way to number five out of the thousands that apply for that role, on the show about a year and a half ago.
Which one, The Voice or American Idol?
The Voice, on The Voice, yeah. And we rooted for her very big in UCLA, where she was a graduate student, rooted for her and had everything they could to support her. And she got to number five and was brilliant, I thought, on the show. I think, look, you deal in every era with the vehicles that are there for exposure. And The Tonight Show and others are still decent vehicles, but they don't have the impact they had, years earlier. And the other problem is most of the shows now you don't get on until you virtually don't need it, until you have to be somewhat of a superstar nowadays to get on than those ones like The Voice and American Idol and such. But there you have to... One of the big problems with those shows is they make you sign contracts to give up a tremendous amount. You know, they take your management, they take your record deals, everything could sort of... Especially if you succeed on the show, you're very wrapped up in agreements.
Well, let me ask you this, because and this maybe the magic of threes can apply in a certain way. The Voice, I was talking to somebody the other day, you never hear about people from The Voice becoming pop stars, but you do from American Idol. In terms of even just someone who becomes successful in a business, the magic of threes, you know, can apply no matter how visible, no matter how successful they are. If you don't incorporate the magic of threes, you could become nothing. Your business, or not nothing, it doesn't mean you're nothing, but your business could decline. You might not get something that you really are striving for. So tell us about the magic of threes and that, how that would apply in whether it's business or you're a pop icon.
You know, I think I probably will start with when it failed, because it's one of the best examples that I have. I don't know if we want, if you'd like to take a quick break here now, but we could
actually
dive
that's
into
a great
that
idea.
The minute
Let's,
we get back.
That's perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Yes, we will take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to find out more about the magic of threes and how you can apply it in your business and personal life.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to step into all of your greatness, to release the confidence that lies within, to stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network International Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year on August 4th through the 7th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you, to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Our world-renowned speakers will teach, inspire, and motivate you to greater heights. Plus, the food, the fun, and entertainment at the best party in town will rock all of your senses. Look, no one makes it alone. So it's time to stop trying to be the COE, the chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. The eWomen Network Conference is the perfect place to make that happen. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
We're back. This is Spotlight on eWomen with Phyllis Smith.
Yes, and welcome back. Having a wonderful conversation with Ken Cragen. If you weren't here for the first segment, Ken is the mastermind behind We Are the World, Hands Across America. He was manager of many eight icons, musical icons, including Lionel Richie, Olivia Newton-John, Kenny Rogers, the Bee Gees, and many, many more. So, Ken, we were talking about the magic of threes, and so why don't you give us an example of what it is and how powerful
it can be.
Well,
let me start by telling you it's all around us, you know, from the Holy Trinity, the three wise men, to the three strikes and you're out in baseball, and three beats to a joke, and three plays a key thing in music. And in fact, you know, I have a bit of a background in astronomy, and astronomers just about a year ago now, and last summer, came out and said that there is actually a law of threes in the universe. So it's fascinating. It's all around us. If you go on, you Google it now. When I discovered it back in the 80s, there wasn't any of this, and you couldn't Google anything. So,
yeah.
But nowadays, it's everywhere, and you can find it everywhere. And I even hear it in ads and commercials now that are actually referring to the fact that, that you need three things to get people's attention. And, you know, you can't sell anything. I always tell people you can't sell anything unless it's unique or special. It's got some real substance to it, so people will take action if they hear about it. And you've got to do the unexpected. So basically what I find is that it takes three things in a concentrated period of time to make anything happen. And one of my best examples of that is when I actually failed to do it, because I hadn't taught the course yet. I hadn't discovered that it was an actual principle I was using. And I was managing Lionel Richie, and he got the terrific opportunity to perform as the closing act at the Olympics in 1984 and to do the number one song in the country all night long, with 1,000 dancers, spectacular fireworks, the whole thing. But it didn't advance his career at all. And the reason was there was nothing else around it. No record release, no other press, no other activities or events. Everything was concentrated on that. And we all, I think, figured that if a few billion people, which was what was watching, saw Lionel do the number one song in the U.S. here, that it would, in fact, make huge impact on its career. And it simply didn't. In fact, I had one of my students say to me, "Mr. Cragen, weren't you managing Lionel then? Why didn't you apply it?" And I said, "Well, I hadn't taught it yet. I hadn't figured it out." But 6 months later, and again, just by happenstance, Lionel not only hosted the American Music Awards, he won six awards that night. It was in January of 1985. He that night we recorded We Are the World, which he wrote with Michael Jackson. He was on the cover of TV Guide, which at the time was the number one publication in the country that week. And then the following week, because of We Are the World particularly, we had one press conference after another, all kinds of visibility, newspaper articles and TV and everything everywhere. Suddenly, Lionel was everywhere. And in fact, about a month later, he won 3 Grammy Awards and appeared on that show. But in the meantime, what happened was Lionel's career skyrocketed. And the fact is that less people, if you added them all up, saw all those things in January of 1985 than saw him on the Olympics in the summer of 1984. But people saw multiple impressions in a concentrated period of time. And that's what, you know, the people listening to this need to think about. When you have one thing, how do you surround it? Don't feel the one thing, no matter how big it is. Couldn't have gotten bigger than Lionel on the Olympics. That when you have one thing, bring things, other things around it. Surround it so there are multiple things happening, and especially if you want to reach large masses of people. You know, Phyllis, if I'm directing something to you, I can get your attention with just 3 things. I can, you know, target you. But if I want to reach out and sell a record or a project or a product or a service, I've got to get at least 3 impressions to the recipient in a concentrated period of time. And if that recipient is some large audience, everybody in Los Angeles or everybody in the U.S. that I'm reaching out to, I've got to do like the movie studios do now. I've got to be everywhere with my product. I've got to be seen on television and on radio. I've got to be heard on radio. I've got to be seen in the newspapers. I've got to have mailings. I've got to be on every one of the social media services. I need to get multiple impressions out there because that recipient has to get 3 of them. So that is, you know, that's the key to the magic of threes. And time again, people come back to me years later and say, I've been using the magic of threes on everything I do, and it works, and I keep using it.
Let me ask you this. There'll be people listening to this who maybe have a startup, who don't have a lot of money to buy television ads or radio ads, or they don't necessarily have the notoriety to be asked to be on a radio show like you. What would you do with somebody who's on a budget? What kind of things can they do with their business using the magic of threes?
Well, you do it within your budget. You do it within your budget. You do it within the capabilities of your outreach. Certainly, you try to expand your outreach, but it isn't a question of being, you know, a movie studio spending millions of dollars on selling a movie. That's just an example of how the people with all those resources do it. But you do it in the simplest way. I mean, you know, I talk to people, and this might be a good example to give, about how I do it in my own personal life. I mean, one of my favorite stories is the Valentine's Day story where, you know, it was Valentine's Day. My wife and I, every Valentine's Day, went to the same restaurant for a little two-person, you know, romantic dinner. And I had to be out of town that day. So I left a big basket full of stuff for my wife that I thought she'd like with a card in the front hallway so she'd see it when she got up that morning because I flew out very early. In the afternoon, I had flowers and candy delivered and to her, the more traditional kind of thing. And in the evening, she decided to go use the reservation at the restaurant with a friend, not another guy, fortunately, a girlfriend, and she went. I arranged to pick up the bill and sent over a bottle of champagne with 2 glasses and another Valentine's Day card. Did she call me after she got the basket? No, but I was probably on the plane. Did she call me after the flowers and the candy got there? No. I had reached New York by that point, but it wasn't the days of cell phones. But when she got the 3rd one at the restaurant, she found a phone. She tracked me down in New York, and in tears, she told me how much she loved me and how much she appreciated what I did for her. It works on the smallest level, and it works on the largest level. So it doesn't matter what you have or what you're doing. I mean, the resources in that one were minor comparatively. It was a few $100s maybe. And yet, I got the individual's attention that I needed. in this case, my wife. But you can do it in everyday business. You can do it every which way. You know, you can do it in an interview for a job. I always love the fact, you know, you get somebody to call before you get there and say you're going to see a lot of people, but, you know, Phyllis Smith really stands out, and I just want you to be sure you give her the attention because, and you give some reasons. And then you get there, Phyllis, and you bring something, something you can leave with them that they will remember you by, something interesting. If you know they have kids, it might be something for their kids. You've done your homework, and you listen while you're there, and you find out exactly what they're looking for. And when you leave, you go home immediately and write a handwritten note, because a handwritten note makes an amazing difference nowadays. I got one from a doctor who was working on my knee just a while back, and it blew me away that he had written a handwritten note saying, "It's so glad you came in to see me. We're going to take care of that knee." Well, you know, so you write a handwritten note thanking them for seeing you and outlining how you fit what they need, and you've got the best chance of getting that job. The magic of threes literally applies through everything you do.
You know, I learned that from you about the handwritten note, and I've done that. And every time, you know, if I have some kind of a professional meeting of some kind, I always send a handwritten note now. And I really do.
I'll
think
bet you
it
get
makes
a lot of
difference.
Comments.
I don't know. I haven't necessarily gotten a call back, but I'm kind of doing the Ken Craigan approach. You know, it's like I feel like that day I maybe made a difference just for that moment. You know, you just have to know how does it feel to open up a letter and say, hey, you know, and see the
especially when everything you're doing is texting and emails and everything else.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, getting that one from the doctor just blew me away.
And it's how you stand out, and it's really subtle. It's not like the person or even the audience or the community, how you're reaching out. They're not going, oh, one, two, three. It's a very subtle thing, you know. It's in marketing, for example. I think this is an amazing tool for just marketing anything. It's, you know, if you've got the money, you got billboards, TV, radio, right? But or print, you know, there's that kind of three different places. But these days, we have outreach. We have a global outreach just because of the internet. So, you know.
Yeah, the one thing I do want to caution people, Phyllis, I want to caution people that the social media, I consider one direction. If you reach somebody through email or text or Instagram or whatever service you're using, I consider that you should put the, you know, multiple approaches there, but I think it has the impact of one approach. You still need to reach out in other ways to people, not just three social media things. And I think that's a very important point for today's people, because people think, oh, gee, well, you know, I did all three of these social media. Well, they have the impact of one. It's just something I've discovered to be a truism.
The impact. So social media has only the impact of one. Like if you post something on Facebook, explain that a little bit deeper. We're running out of time. So.
Yeah, I know. But if you post something on, you know, your Facebook page, and then you send an Instagram and a text and all that, it works somewhat, but you can't consider it really doing the magic of threes. You also need to come with a handwritten note or a phone call or, you know, hey, a billboard across the street from their office, whatever you can afford.
Interesting. Okay. There's so much more we could talk about, but I just want you to tell us a little bit. You're speaking at the conference, at the eWomen Network International Conference and Business Expo. That's August. This conference is August 4th through the 7th. You'll be
I'm on the morning of the 4th at 10:30. I'll be speaking for a couple of hours. I will get much more deeply into the magic of threes, but the main thrust of my talk will be accomplishing the impossible. How do you really set out and do the things that might appear possible, and why that is easier to accomplish than the ordinary? It's a major theme that I found particularly fits in the 30th anniversary of Hands Across America and a year after the 30th anniversary of We Are the World, both of which were seemingly impossible. And I'll also get into the project I'm working on right now with NASA and Jet Propulsion Laboratory with a spacecraft that arrives this coming Monday, July 4th at Jupiter, and what we're doing there and some of the other big projects that I'm working on. I think, we'll have a lot of fun. It'll be very entertaining, and hopefully people will walk away. My whole belief when I talk is I want you to get things that you walk away with and put into practice immediately.
And if you go to the conference and you see Ken, he will make a difference. Just that one, just having that one, sitting there with him and listening to what he's done, you can change your life just from that alone. The conference altogether is an incredible experience. So if you want to go to the conference, and I highly recommend it, go to ewomennetwork.com. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. By the way, I will be there for the entire conference. I'm getting there on Wednesday night, and I'll be there right through the end of the conference on Sunday.
And that's what I love about you, and you're so accessible and approachable, and you've got great stories and knowledge and wisdom that we all can learn from. So thank you so much, and until next time.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.